grateful for my sister Jeanette, and Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon her, and that our hearts and our ears would be open to what you have to say to us, Lord, and that we will be open, Lord, to your voice today and speak through Jeanette. And Lord, I thank you. Thank you so much for this day. Yes. Amen.
Amen, amen. All right. So, wow. It is an honor to be here today. This has been on my heart for many weeks. It's not always easy. You know, when you think about, we love to share our testimony and what God has done for us, but it also involves being open, being vulnerable, being, you know, not everybody likes to hear necessarily what you've been through or what has happened in your life. But I've titled this deliberately, and I don't know, yep, she's put it up here for me, Look What the Lord Has Done. So as much as, you know, we get excited about our favorite football team, our favorite this, or our favorite that, can we just take a moment and give the Lord a hand clap of what the Lord has done? So now, I will tell you this. This might be a little different for you, but you all get to participate. So I'm just telling you now, I'm not going to, like, voluntold somebody out of the seat. So you know, not going to do that to you. But here's a question for you. What is the purpose of a foundation? What does a foundation do? Okay, it supports. Does it do anything else? Okay, holds it level. Holds it steady. Transfers the load to the ground. See, there's our budding guy here filling us in. Okay. So Psalms 11:3, if you'll put that up there, want to take a look at our first verse. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And you know, exactly, you know, we talk about the foundations of our faith and whatnot, and it's kind of general. But we're going to talk today about personal. Your foundation, my foundation, because I'm going to share a little bit about this. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I love doing some word studies. Sometimes I won't get into a bunch of detail. But this word here, foundation, in the Hebrew, is a basis, political or moral support, a purpose, comes from a primitive root with a very wide application, to place. So think about this when it comes to you and me. Place. Purpose. Let's pray. So Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just ask that you would speak, Father, to each and every heart, both in this place and the ones listening online, that indeed, Father, you are our cornerstone, our foundation. You are our all in all, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. But, you know, we love to sing about how much God loves us. But think about the flip side. Because Scripture says we are in a war. And war, unfortunately, is ugly business. It really is. Whether it's in the natural, but also in the spiritual. Know and understand, as much as God loves you, there is an enemy who hates you. And he will do anything he can to get you. So put the next verse up, Kirsten, if you would. 1 Peter 5:8. What does Scripture tell us? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, it's a war. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if he can, he will. He will. John 10:10. Most of us can quote this one. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come, Lord says, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, it's interesting. I looked up the three words, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That word steal is literally what you mean, but it's like to filch when you're not looking. That word kill is a primary verb, but it really doesn't mean necessarily to kill. It means properly to rush, to make you breathe hard. So think about that for a minute. Ever feel rushed? Ever feel like you are so pressed and so stressed? Breathing a little hard? To destroy. To destroy is to destroy fully. To perish. Realize we're a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. If you allow him to destroy, he destroys completely. Tell you, it's kind of a heavy thing, but we're going to get there. You know why? Because this is all about what the Lord has done. But when you think about your foundation, what is under your feet, holding you up, that's what a foundation does. Holds you steady. And you have an enemy who will do what he can. Put a little crack in it. Chip a little piece off of it. Maybe when you're not looking, take this little piece out. Because he'll do it. So I want to talk about, here's a little English for you all English scholars. How many of you know when you put the prefix D-I-S, dis, in front of a word, it changes the meaning? So here's some common things for you. When you put that prefix in front of a word, it means not, or opposite of, a part, or a way, or a reversal, or an undoing. Okay? So here's some of the things the enemy will do to the foundation that you and I are standing on. If he can. If he can. I'm not giving him more power than he has. We're supposed to have traction. Traction is I'm walking out what the Lord has given me to do, right? And my feet are not slipping. David talked about that in one of the Psalms. He said, my foot almost slipped. But if I put the word dis in front of it, guess what I get? Distraction. Courage. Aren't we told in Joshua, be of good courage, right? Put dis. Discourage. Another one. The word may, to be able to do something. Put the word dis. Dismay. Changes it. And the last one. To be appointed, to be equipped or furnished, to do something. We talk about being appointed. Disappointed. These are all things that the enemy will do. And yes, we're talking about feelings, perceptions. But you know, the funny thing about that is, feelings and perceptions aren't necessarily logical. Have you ever had somebody say something to you and you're like, what'd they mean by that? And you ask them, no, I didn't mean that at all. You took it wrong. You took it wrong. And sometimes we do that. Proverbs 18:14. Spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Good question. That word wounded is to be smitten, afflicted, broken. Ring any bells for anybody? Psalms 109:22. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. This word that's used here for heart, very widely used for feelings, the will, and the intellect. Too often, we're walking with the Lord. We're trying to do our thing. And the enemy begins to chip, to steal little tiny bit of your foundation. Sister so-and-so, well, did you hear what she said to me? I just don't know how I feel about that. Chip. Well, brother so-and-so, he didn't shake my hand. I think he's mad at me. Chip. Romans 8, 34, 35. You ever notice this verse? It says who? You ever notice that? It doesn't say what. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Thank God for that. Next verse, 35. Who, again, shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? You know, I'd never really caught that before. It says who? Our enemy. That's who. You know, you've heard of the prodigal son. Well, this is a little bit, if you will, of a prodigal daughter story. Because this is a story of that warrior image that we all like so much. You know, warrior for Christ with the big sword. and the shield, and got all the armor on and everything. But you know what? You need to change that image just a little bit, at least when it comes to me, because that armor is awful dented, and it's not very shiny, because it's been in a battle. That sword might have a few nicks in it, because it's been used. Because there was a time a while back. Life was good. Everything was going good. My foundation was good. And then I got sick. Evidently, my walk with Christ wasn't as strong as it should have been. I understand that now, but at the time, I didn't realize that. And I literally felt, once again, feelings, that the rug was pulled out from under my feet. I got sick to the point. Doctors couldn't figure it out. But my identity at the time, now hear me, my identity at the time was not focused on the Lord where it should have been. I acknowledge that. My identity was wrapped up in my job. I worked for a bank. I was a big shot. They paid me to travel and to do and, millions of dollars. I didn't handle personally, but the companies that I dealt with in that did big number business. And in the space of a moment, doctor signed a form and said, you can't work anymore. You can't do that job anymore. Rug, right out from under me. Because at the time, my identity was in that job. That was who I was. And when I lost that, guess what? I got angry. I got very angry. Can you guess who I got angry at? I didn't get angry at the doctor. I didn't get angry at my job. Who do you think I got angry at? Absolutely. And let me tell you, he's big enough to handle that. I will tell you that. I got so angry. Lord, why is this happening to me? How did you allow this to happen? Why aren't you healing me? And you know what happened? The enemy, he's just like, oh boy, I got her now. And you better believe he did. All that steal, kill, destroy, all those dis words, dismay, discourage, you better believe he took a vulnerable time and he piled it on. He piled it on. He piled it on to the point loss of my identity. I also, once again, perception, I didn't feel I had anyone to talk to. And I am not dissing Mark. Part of what you do is you isolate when you're, sometimes, not everybody's the run to somebody and talk about it. Some of us, we isolate, we pull back, and we just wallow in what's going on with us. It's communication. my fault mostly, the few, and it was only a few, people I tried to reach out to either didn't understand, didn't perceive, they didn't want to hear it. And it's just like, you know, we've talked about these past few weeks, the spirit of offense and whatnot. Well, you can guess what happened there. Well, I tried to talk to Sister so-and-so. She didn't seem to understand me. I'm offended. And it just grows. And it just grows. Yeah. Well, Brother so-and-so just said, oh, we'll pray for you, sister. And then, like, couldn't back away fast enough, like I had something, you know, that's going to jump on him. So understand that spirit of offense that we've been hearing so much about, yeah, that's a big tool. Really make a big crack in that foundation if you let it. And once again, no one understand all of this. I allowed. It's just being real. I allowed it. To the point. To the point. That I planned out my suicide. I was in so much pain and so much hurt. And I felt so isolated. I was no longer able to drive. So I spent most of my time sitting at home, wallowing in all my stuff and allowing the enemy to just take chunk after chunk after chunk out of my foundation. I had it all planned out. But God. But God, I cannot tell you, I don't have this big, you know, I had a dream or somebody spoke a word or whatnot, but it was almost like you read about in the story of the prodigal son where it says he came to himself. He came to his senses. All of a sudden, it's like the Lord in his mercy, once again, look what the Lord has done. He just kind of, haven't you had enough? Are you ready now instead of being angry at me? Are you ready for me now to help you? Are you willing to come to me and let me help you? I did. And I will add a little plug here, if you will. If you are mentoring somebody, be aware how great your responsibility is to that person, or persons, if it's more than one. If I'd had a mentor, someone who could have held me accountable instead of allowing me to just wallow, That would have been an awesome thing, and maybe wouldn't have gotten quite to that point. Our willingness to help. How many times is the word compassion in the Gospels? When Jesus saw the crowds, he had what? Compassion. You look out over this crowd here. Do you have compassion? Do you understand that there are people in this room who the enemy maybe has filched a bit from them? Maybe they literally feel like I did, and that the very thing they thought they were standing on, that was like their whole life, if you will, has been taken? Because I guarantee you, there's probably some people, whether they admit it or not, And like I said, feelings are that way. We all have them. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So I will tell you now, anybody in this room, anybody online, you can contact me through the Life Center. If you need someone to talk to, I'm here. I am here because I have been through a lot. Because it took me a while. It took me a while. When I finally began to let go of my anger, I felt I had every right. See, that's part of it. We're real big on rights. Well, I've got a right to be angry. I've got a right to be upset. Do I? Who do I belong to? We belong to God, do we not? Does this body belong to God? Then he can do what he wants with it. It's his timing when he chooses to heal, not mine. It's his timing to give me maybe a new purpose since I didn't have a job anymore. See, I couldn't, at that time, I couldn't see that. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Boy, did he have mercy on me. What is another scripture? It's not up there. It says, when I was what? The enemy of God? He died for me. He died for me. In the midst of my hurt and my anger and my offense, he reached down. He picked me up, and just like he said to the woman in adultery, I don't accuse you. What did he say? Go and sin no more. He said, enough of this. It's time to get up. Here's my hand, and let's go. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort therewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So I'm standing up here to tell you, because we have made this kind of a, you know, everybody wants the warrior, right? You know, I'm good, I'm blessed, yeah. And we all like that. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But like I said, my image, at least, is a little different. Because my armor is dented and banged. It's not shiny. But it worked. And the same comfort that God gave to me, I extend now to you. Because the comfort that he's given to me, I can share with you. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Some of us struggle when we read this verse, but now it kind of takes on a new meaning. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Because sometimes there's a waiting, whether it's for healing, whether it's for our feelings, our perceptions, whatever we are dealing with. Sometimes there's a weight. His grace is sufficient. As he told Paul, he told me. He says, you just do, let's walk this together. And we will get through it. I don't necessarily go around glorying in my infirmities, but what does it say? That the power of Christ may rest on me, verse 10. Therefore, and I can't say that I take pleasure. I'm just being real. I really can't use it. But what does it say? In distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Okay, let's try it again. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, another thing too, that if I am continually saying how strong I am, and I never admit to any weakness, you know what happens? What happens? Well, it does talk about, a lot of times we deceive ourselves, but eventually the load gets so heavy, you break. You break. None of us want to get to that point where we break. I have a friend of mine, Facebook friend, just lost a good friend of his. He's in the military, to suicide. He broke. He couldn't take it anymore. I have another friend. She had something happen, and she feels, once again, perception, that the church is kind of pushing her away because of it. She at least posted something. I just feel like maybe I'm just going to end it. I met a young lady in the park who said, I don't have any friends. Young lady, maybe 18 or something. And the one that really got me, I had a prayer time. It's been a while back now, but I still remember it, that the Lord had me reach out to somebody that I know, because somebody that their little one knew was thinking about suicide. 8 years old. 8 years old. Should no way be thinking about ending it. This is the enemy, and this is his work. But, James 4:7. Indeed. What does it say? Humble yourself. If I'm running around so much, everything is fine, and everything is great, and I'm so strong. That is not this. Humble. Oh, that different one. Okay. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You got to resist him. It's a war. You have a sword for a reason. Use it. You have armor. It has a purpose. Use it. Because the enemy will certainly help you take it off and put the sword down. Leave your brothers and sisters. Oh, well, I'm offended. Or they don't understand. Or nobody else has ever gone through. Oh, yeah, they have. If you resist him, he has to what? He has to flee. He has to. And if you need help resisting him, pick up the phone. Call a brother. Call a sister. It's, hey, I'm struggling with something. But see, then that requires us to admit we're struggling with something. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Now it's 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. I'm not saying don't go to God with whatever it may be. Obviously, that comes first. But we are a body. And I don't know about you, but how many of us in here have ever got up, let's say in the middle of the night, we don't bother to turn the light on. I'm just going, you know, get a drink or something. And, of course, somebody left the chair pulled out in the kitchen. Anybody else ever find that chair with a certain part of your anatomy? Yeah. And it hurts, doesn't it? But here's, think about this now. Okay, I've just walked in the kitchen barefoot, and I have smacked my toe into the leg of that chair. What does the rest of my body do? Yeah, first you have that, oh, and then usually what do? We reach down, we rub it, The whole body sympathizes with that toe. It's not just your toe, is it? Well, it should be the same for us. When one of us is hurting, the brain knows Christ is the head. And I guarantee you, in the midst of all my trial, I know somebody, at least one somebody, probably several, were praying for me. And I may never meet them or know about that until I get to heaven. But I guarantee you, they were praying for me, whether they knew it or not. They were. Because they saved my life. Because the brain always knows when a part of the body, something is wrong. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly. Boldly. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. You know, where does fear come from? The enemy, right? Where does shame come from? The enemy. So who's trying to stop you from coming boldly? The enemy. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I got this verse the other day during the intercession time, and I looked up that word need. You know, we started talking about foundation at the beginning, right? That word to find grace to help in time of need talks about a word that I'd never heard before, nautical term. And it literally refers to, you know, because their ships were wooden back then, right? Wooden planks, you know, that they put together, they built their ship, right? Well, when the storm would come along, they would take rope and they would wrap it around the hull of the ship. Can you guess what for? To strengthen it. So this verse kind of takes a whole new meaning. When you're going through a storm, when it feels like maybe, oh, things are starting to, you know, I might just come apart. Go to the throne of grace to find that help, that support, that undergirding, part of your foundation standing firm. Last two verses, Revelation 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. There's your enemy. And that, I'm telling you, that's his job. That's all he cares about, is to accuse you, to tear you down, to destroy you and me. And they overcame him. Go ahead and read the rest with me. What? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The blood of the Lamb. Look what the Lord has done. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So you've heard a bit of mine. And I cannot tell you how close I came to not standing up here today. Because I did not talk. You know, they say the ones that don't talk about it are the ones that are really might do it. Poor Mark had no clue. When I finally told him what I was feeling, he was just, because he had no clue. Because I didn't tell him. I didn't share. So I'm going to call the prayer team up. And Brother Dan, if you'd come up as well. So here's your opportunity. I started to kind of make an out maybe for some people, and I really just felt like the Lord said no. So here is your opportunity. If you feel like maybe